Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my infinite pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four distinctive, dynamic, and diverse personalities who are once more going to display their spontaneous wit, their verbal dexterity and ingenuity as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And those four people are, on my right, it's Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and on my left, Linda Smith and Ross Noble. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Lottie Barker, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Marlowe Theatre in their beautiful cathedral, historic city of Canterbury. And we have in front of us, in that wonderful county of Kent, the Garden of England, and we have in front of us a fine Kentish audience ready to cheer us on our way. And we begin the show this week with Clement Freud. And how apt can you be? The subject is Canterbury Tales. Clement, tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Geoffrey Chaucer wrote the Canterbury Tales and would have us believe that it was done on horseback by 31 people. He wrote, "At night there came into that hostelry," meaning the Tarbard at Southwark, "full 29 in a company of sundry folk, by aventure fall in fellowship, and pilgrims were they all that toward Canterbury wold and ride. The chambers and the stables were in wide, and well we were eased at our best. But shortly, ere the sun he had to rest, so had I spoken to them every one that I was of their fellowship anon."
Well, sometimes in Just a Minute I give out bonus points, but I'm going to give it out right away for that, because to suddenly have a subject thrown at you and recite some of Geoffrey Chaucer's words like that was a real pièce de résistance. And so a bonus point before we even start. Linda Smith, challenge you. What's your challenge, Linda?
It was very lovely, but two fellowships.
Yes, there were the fellowships. You did repeat fellowship.
Well, you can't have too many,
that's
really,
Chaucer's fault. That's not Clement's fault. If anything, you should take a bonus point off Geoffrey Chaucer.
Clement's going through in his mind and wonder if he did see repeat fellowship. You did say at the beginning and later on. So, Linda, you have a correct challenge, and in this game you get a point for that, and you take over the subject of the Canterbury Tales, and there are 23 seconds available starting now.
In the Canterbury Tales, the pilgrims to Canterbury.
Ross.
There was a bit of a pa-pa-pa.
Yeah. No. Actually, that was Chaucerian English.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's
I wouldn't expect you to know that, Ross.
It sounded a little bit to me like the Pearl and Dean advert.
Well, it was actually. It's very similar. It's very similar because it goes pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa pilgrims.
Yeah. Ross. We do interpret that as hesitation.
Thanks.
So, you have the subject. You have Canterbury Tales. You have 19 seconds, starting now.
The best one was the Parson's Tale. That was where a man got three people together in a radio environment.
Clement Freud challenged.
Deviation, there was no Parson's Tale.
He's right, there was no Parson's Tale. I thought you were going to sing something lovely.
Hang on!
That's not Geoffrey Chaucer, is it?
The amount of gigs where he's turned up. Just...
Is there somebody in the audience who thinks there was a Parson's Tale?
The boy at the end and they'll
read. Well, the best thing is, right, it's the only one I know. because I was wandering around today and I got a book and I just flicked straight to the back.
Ross, you have a point for an incorrect challenge. You have the subject,
okay.
And there are 14 seconds on the Parson's Tale. No, I'm sorry.
You're so used to offering a bit of Parson's Tale around town.
I could take that further, but it's radio, and I think we'll respect people's sensitivities. 14 seconds, Canterbury Tales, starting now.
There was a cook story as well, I believe, which involved a young boy on a moped who would go to...
Clever chance.
There was a cook still. He didn't have a moped.
He didn't have a moped.
It was a Harley Davidson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In your fantasy world, maybe. What a pity. Clement, a correct challenge. You have 8 seconds. The subject is now still Canterbury Tales, starting now.
The Canterbury Tales.
Ross, challenge.
Sorry, I forgot to mention, it was a donkey that looked a bit like a morphine.
It's too late now, Ross. If you're not careful, if you do in too many interruptions, the other people get points. But I won't charge any points on this occasion.
Why not?
Sorry.
Well, I suppose that's only fair. You were interrupted, and those are the rules of the game. That's how I work. Right, Clement? Another point to you. You love getting your points, and I'm giving them to you. Right, and you have 7 seconds. Canterbury Tales, starting now.
But nevertheless will I have time and space, here that I further in this daily pace, to tell you all the condition of each of them, so as they seem to me...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes... gains an extra point on this occasion was Clement Freud, so naturally he's in the lead at the end of that round.
Clement just said that he knows the whole of the Canterbury Tales.
Well, we haven't got time for it all.
It's an achievement, though, isn't it?
An achievement, yes. I just think it shows it's taken him all these years to show that his education wasn't wasted. No, I didn't mean that as a snide remark. I was trying to pay him a compliment to show that he was a well-educated man.
It's a useful trick, I think, to be able to do that.
Yes.
You might be in a pub quiz. Can you do the whole of the Canterbury Tales?
I think we'll get on with just a minute. Ross, would you take the next round? The subject is Mumbo Jumbo. We have a lot of that in just a minute, because they have to keep going under pressure. There are 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
A lot of people think that donkeys disguised as mopeds is mumbo-jumbo, but I'm here to prove them wrong. I have a catalogue backstage which I would like to show to each and every one of you to make sure that my particular train of thought on that is correct. But mumbo-jumbo, of course, there once was a family called the Bojumbo family. There was mumbo-jumbo. There was... Dad Bojumbo, and of course, as well as that, who could forget the little
Paul,
baby...
you've challenged, Paul.
Well, I don't know, really. Is this a repetition of Bojumbo?
No, it's on the card.
No.
Part of it's on the card.
You can repeat either the word or the... But you've actually split a word and created a new word, Bojumbo. So...
I should have an extra point for that. Yeah.
The words on the card are mumbo and jumbo. So I think, strictly within the rules of just a minute, I mean, I have to be fair, but... So I think that's a correct challenge, Paul. So he split the words and Bojumbo...
I've got family rules members, to stick though, to. That's the trouble.
Well, 6 people don't agree with it.
I know you have your favourites, and I know you're... But please, one has to make the difficult decision. Paul, a correct challenge.
All right, there is, yeah.
33 seconds available. Mumbo Jumbo, starting now.
When the first elephant appeared at Regent's Park in about 1862, the general public were baffled as to what it actually was. Many of them hadn't seen elephants before, and they wondered whether this strange creature was an amalgamation of different beasts. If you look at the trunk, you could say it's like an anteater. If you look at the huge backside of the creature, it could be something that you've seen once standing against the wall deepest Romford.
Linda challenged.
A little hesitation there, but I think there was deviation.
Why?
You've confused me now with your questions.
What was the deviation, madam?
He did something. What did he do? I don't know.
He didn't hesitate, and that was your first challenge.
No. What did he do? There was a repetition before that.
It's too late now. Your first challenge was hesitation, and I have to be fair within the rules of just a minute. Say,
well, I thought he did hesitate a little bit, sort of stumbled.
He kept going quite well.
Did he?
On the
right.
He did actually repeat.
I know, but don't say now, because you've lost that.
I was miles away and I forgot to press my button.
I know. He did repeat something, but nobody spotted it. Paul.
I was miles away and I did press my button. That's even worse.
Well, I can't help you. I wasn't listening to a word of it. Absolute rubbish.
Paul, I know, but
I'm
it was
surprised they
rubbish.
Broadcast that kind of stuff.
We do in just a minute. You'll be surprised.
Do you really?
I've heard some other lovely rubbish from you on occasions, Paul, which is memorable. You have 2 seconds. You have an incorrect challenge, a point for that, of course. 2 seconds, mumbo-jumbo, starting now.
If you say it the other way, it's jumbo-mumbo, and that doesn't make any sense at all. Did you say 2 seconds? That's more than 2 seconds.
So Paul Merton was speaking when the whistle went and gained an extra point for doing so. He's now just 1 point behind Clement Freud, who's in the lead. You spotted the repetition but didn't challenge Freud.
No,
what
I
was
didn't.
It?
What?
What was the repetition?
It was
repetition?
Creature. Repetition of creature.
Yeah, and he also said repeated the word look.
Did I?
Yes. I say this because I do get letters saying, why didn't you tell them? I've told them now. So, right.
You say you get these letters, but yes. Nobody's ever actually seen them.
Because I answer them. I'm very, very conscientious in that respect.
Shall I tell you something, Nicholas? What? It's me that sends those letters.
I wondered why they were so illiterate. I have to get back occasionally, Paul. No ill feeling meant. Right. So, Linda, your turn. Would you take the subject, the American dream? What a lovely subject. Talk on it, if you can. 60 seconds starting now.
The American dream. Well, I suppose the American dream is epitomised by George W. Bush, a man who's worked his way up from a humble president's son to be the first citizen of his country by sheer graft, and I mean that in the true sense of the word. I believe the American dream to have served other people less well, for example, the salesman in Death of a Person Who Does the Job I've Just Mentioned, a very well-known American play, Willie Loman. The American dream doesn't work out very well for him because he dies, in fact, so that could hardly be worse. Another person for whom the American dream fails is the person... Thank you for your pity.
You went for 47 seconds.
Mm. That's a first.
It is very different in the game. And you kept going through that wonderful applause you got. You had to keep going because you otherwise had been interrupted. Wonderful, and they enjoyed it so much. But you were challenged by Paul. What was
repetition
it?
Repetition of person.
Yes, I'm afraid there was.
Yes.
12 seconds, Paul. You tell us something about the American dream starting now.
It is the belief in American society that one day, it doesn't matter who you are, you can grow up and become President of the United States of America. And just look at the...
Clement, you challenge.
Repetition of America.
Yes, because it's American on the... Yeah. Yeah. You can repeat the words in the card, but not America. It's American on the card. Mm-hmm. So, well, listen, Clement, 2 seconds ago, tell us something about the American dream starting now.
Sleepless in Seattle never, ever had an American dream.
Clement Freud was speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. He's increased his lead over Paul Merton. But I think the irony of this particular show is Linda Smith went wonderfully for 47 seconds, had you in stitches out there, and she didn't get any points at all.
Not one!
No, because you were challenged, you see, and they got the subject over. They get points for challenging, correct challenge, and so forth.
It's a cruel world.
It's a cruel game, but you are appreciated.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Yes, and that, particularly by this audience here. Paul. Will you take the next round? The subject, pizzazz. That's a good subject, isn't it? Tell us something about pizzazz in just a minute, starting now.
Pizzazz, an extraordinary word. Let me spell it for you. P-I-Z. Well, I think the rest of it you can imagine. It's an extraordinary term.
Clement, challenge.
Two extraordinaries.
Yes, I'm afraid so, yes. Clement, correct challenge. 52 seconds available. Tell us something about pizzazz, starting now.
Pizzazz is the plural of pizza. And you can get them almost anywhere. Anchovy, sardine, cheese, oregano, parsley, chives.
Ross's challenge. Ross, your challenge.
Oh, I'd just let him have it.
You're just irritated by the fact he can
list. He's listening again. But, no, it's good. But I was writing
down that recipe.
I think there was a slight hesitation, but then I don't know.
No. He was listening, and it just got to you, didn't it? Because
yes,
he does
it
so well.
Yes.
Clement, pizzazz is still with you. Another point as well. 42 seconds available, starting now.
If you go to any pizzeria and ask for pizzazz, they will know exactly what you want. Might ask, request the information.
Linda, challenge.
Actually, I suppose it would be deviation from the Italian language. Shouldn't it be pizzeria? Rather than pizzeria?
Oh.
Well, it didn't sound like they were selling pizzas.
No. I think it could have ended
with something
else.
I wouldn't go in, I'll tell you that.
I wouldn't go near it.
No, I think that's a moot point. I don't think so. Pronunciation of pizzeria, whether you do it the Italian way or the anglicised version, I don't think we could allow that one, Linda. A pity, because I'd love to hear from you again, but Clement has got a point, and there are 34 seconds starting now.
If you go to a place where they sell pizzas and ask where the pizza is...
Paul Challenge.
Have we had "if you go" before
yes,
as a phrase?
Do. You have, if you go.
Yeah, and ask
so,
competition.
Paul, you got a correct challenge. You have 28 seconds. Pizzazz, starting now.
Al Jolson, amongst the old entertainers, could best be described as a man of pizzazz. They used to say he wouldn't need a microphone, just bound onto the stage, grab the audience by the scruff of the neck and beat the living daylights out of them. And by the end of the evening, as the songs rolled out of their ears, "California, here I come."
Ross challenged.
Deviation, because the songs, they roll out of the mouth into the ears and not actually out of the ears.
Yeah, but
themselves.
They're in the brain, then they've got to come out of the ears, otherwise they're stuck there and they can't hear anything.
I see what you mean, but on the other hand, you could also say they went into the brain and they didn't want to retain it, so they came out again. So, I mean...
But he had pizzazz. If he had pizzazz, it would have retained it.
Yeah, we could go on arguing like this for the rest of the night.
So I'll draw you a diagram.
No. I think... I think, Ross, it's a far-fetched challenge. There's a certain amount of truth in it. I have to give the benefit of the doubt to Paul on this occasion. Say, Paul, you still have the subject. You have 9 seconds. Pizzazz, starting now.
In today's modern show business world, it's very hard to find people of a similar stature. Perhaps Shirley Bassey, who can belt out a tune louder...
Clement challenge.
Belt. The
you
other chap belt.
What's his name? Was belting it out before.
I can't believe I repeated the word belt. Well, I'm not even talking about belts.
Yes.
That's extraordinary.
Well, you were talking about people who belt out songs.
Yeah.
Naturally, right. So, Clement, you have a correct challenge. You've only got 1 second. Pizzazz, starting now.
Shirley Bassey.
So Clement Roy, another point, has been at the whistle when cleverly getting in just beforehand has increased his lead ahead of Paul Merton, Ross Noble and Linda Smith in that order. And Ross, your turn to begin. The subject, a good topical subject for Canterbury, Thomas à Becket. Tell us something about that character in this game, starting now.
Thomas à Becket, as all local people know, was actually named after a pub. That's right. His father, his good old-fashioned man that used to... bring him up when he was a kid, was in fact very much enjoyed the places of drinking and in fact had a nice penchant for...
Clement challenge.
Repetition of fact.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I tried to not see enjoy in it.
I know. This is the toughness of this game. So, Clement, 42 seconds available. You tell us something about Thomas à Becket starting now.
Thomas à Becket is a gymnasium in East London where Henry Cooper and many other boxers trained before their bouts. I think the gym was called after a man who was sainted, was Archbishop of Canterbury, lived in the 12th century, and I don't know too much about him other than that he was canonized.
And... Ross, your challenge.
Well, he was about to hesitate then, wasn't he?
About to hesitate? He never stopped hesitating. I've never known anything go on. I thought that none of them want this subject.
Well, he deviated then.
That none of them want it, so they let him go on and struggling like that.
Yeah,
he did definitely hesitate, yes.
Yes, he hesitated.
Yes. He almost ground to a halt. Ross, you have 18 seconds on Thomas à Becket starting now.
That information that Clement just gave was absolutely correct, and I know all those facts as well, and I would have said that.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of facts.
Yes. Clement, you have 10 seconds on Thomas à Becket, starting now.
T.S. Eliot's play Murder in the Cathedral was based on Thomas à Becket, who met his end in that ecclesiastical palace in Kent, not far...
Clement Roy's knowledge of history, though he didn't know, 1171, Henry II, 14... He's got so many points. He's way ahead of Paul Merton, Ross Noble and Linda Smith in that order. And, Linda, your turn to begin. The subject is sailors. Hello, sailor. Give us something on that subject in this game, starting now.
Sailors. My favourite sailor has to be Ellen McCarthy. What a marvellous feat of sailing round the world she did. It must have been very hard wrestling with the sails alone. You know yourself how hard it is with a duvet. You need two people, and then you don't make a very good fist of it, and it usually leads to a row and someone stomping off saying, oh, well, I thought we changed it 3 weeks ago anyway. And that usually tends to be the man, and you say, yes, you're supposed to change them every week, actually. At least.
A poor challenge.
I think this is very much a personal issue for Linda. I think changing duvets has moved on quite a bit from sailors.
So what is your challenge?
It's deviation from the subject.
Yes, I think it has.
I admit that sailers would sometimes change duvets.
There was another mistake
she
made.
Even more difficult in a storm.
Yes,
that's true. Right, we'll give you deviation, Paul. And it's 33 seconds for you on sailors, starting now.
Well, of course, if you didn't have sailors, there wouldn't be boats. And if you didn't have boats,
oh, Linda. That's the fun of the game as well as the toughness of it. Right. You've got it back again. Sailors, with you. 28 seconds, Linda, starting now.
Sailors are the seaborne wing of the armed forces. They are the soldiers of the watery substance that surrounds our island, and they're very much like those land warriors, except that they have a more relaxed attitude to the obviously homophobic elements of... I invented a word. Point for me.
I'm sorry, not Linda, right.
Do you get homophobic elephants? Does that...
They're called mumbo-jumbo.
Ah.
Right, Ross.
Homophobic, that would come in for something, that word, wouldn't it?
What was your challenge, Ross?
Homophobic.
Yeah, a deviation from English words, as we understand it, and usually normally speak it, even in just a minute. Ross, you've got a correct challenge. You have 11 seconds. You have sailors starting now.
All sailors have tattoos. They also eat spinach, and that's the way that they fight off big burly men that try and get off with their very skinny girlfriends who have got names similar to that of cooking stuffs, i.e. olive oil.
So Ross Noble was speaking when the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and he's moved forward, but he's still in third place. And Paul, we're moving into the last round. So let me give you the situation before we do move into the last round. Linda Smith is training a little. She has some points and done very well. In fact, she's spoken longer than most people, but hasn't got many points, which is very sad. Ross Noble's contributed well. He's in third place, but... Paul Merton's in second place, just a little way behind our leader, Clement Freud, as we move into the final round. And, Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is the gutter press. Oh, yes. Yes, tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
The gutter press, yesterday's trees, tomorrow's fish and chips. Not many people take much notice of what they read in the gutter press, apart from, of course, the individuals who are featured. Imagine your embarrassment if you were caught consorting with prostitutes and taking cocaine. What an enormous, terrible thing that would be for you to have to appear on television while people pointed fingers at you and general laughter. It's an incredible thing that this should happen in this day and age. Here we are in the 21st century. Why can't show business stars spend the BBC licence payers' money as they see fit? If they find a strumpet in a hotel, give her 50 quid. She's probably worth it.
Linda, you challenged.
Partly just, you know, out of common decency, really. But also...
Who are you protecting?
Well, who knows? I don't know what you get up to, Nicholas.
So, no, I've got to have a challenge within the
rules of justice. No, the challenge was a repetition of hotel.
Really?
Yes, you mentioned...
Are you sure about it, Nicholas?
Earlier on, you said in the hotel room, and then you said in the strumpet in this other hotel.
Oh, yeah, yes, different hotel, you see.
Yes, two hotels.
Same chain, but different hotel. So.
But I tell you what we do. I've done this before in this game. If something goes particularly well and you ride your laughs and so forth, we throw out those bonus points. I gave it to Clement Freud recently. I give it to you again. A bonus point for Paul for his positive reaction from the audience for his hilarious piece. And Linda, you have a correct challenge, and you have 23 seconds. The gutter press starting now.
I was once a victim of the gutter press. It was the Erith and Crayford Observer incorporating the Kentish Times. They reported a joke I told on television about my hometown, which was the first mentioned of the places in the name of that publication. I said it was boring on the means of communication that I have previously described.
And Ross challenged.
I think that was every single one, wasn't it?
Yes. I think you were being a bit unkind. I mean, the look on Linda's face as she struggled to keep going then was such that you were enjoying it, and the audience were. They were suffering with her.
Yeah.
And what you challenge? Yes,
which is what comedy's all about, after all.
It was a repetition of previously.
That's right.
Yeah.
And 1 second, you've got in with 1 second to go, Ross. Oh. It is all the
right,
game.
Come back then, if you can.
Those are the rules, really. And you've been listening to it now for nearly 30 minutes. I thought you'd have realised that. Ross, you have the gutter press and 1 second to tell us something about it, starting now.
The gutter press. I want...
Well, as I said before that round started, it was to be the last, and it's very sad we have to bring the show to a close. Oh. I'm glad you've enjoyed it, because it's given us such pleasure to help you enjoy it. Right, now, let me tell you the situation. Linda, who did so well, and you loved seeing her, didn't you, and all the way she struggled, she finished in fourth place. But she gave such good value. Such good value. And Ross Noble gives great value as well, but he finished in third place. And he... Oh! And Paul Merton always gives great value. I mean, you've cheered him already this evening. He got a lot of points, but he didn't quite catch up Clement Freud, who... We should give a round of applause for the other two. We should give one to Paul as well. I must say to our listeners, that was Paul milking it. But now a final round of applause to our winner this week, Clement Freud. I must thank these four outstanding players of the game, Paul Merton, Linda Smith, Ross Noble and Clement Freud. And I also thank Lottie Barker, who has helped me keep the score. She's blown her whistle so elegantly. We also thank our producer, Claire Jones, who does such a marvellous job. And we're also indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. And we're also thankful to this lovely audience here in the Marlowe Theatre in Canterbury, in this beautiful area of Kent, the Garden of England. We've come to the garden, and you've given us a wonderful, horticultural, spontaneous, fabulous reaction. Until we play just a little game, goodbye!
And you can join Nicholas Parsons at the same time.